As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for the Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America. Coffee brewing on the stove, our guest clearing his throat in the background, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, won't you? Welcome to our Wednesday, September the 16th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We'll come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official website of this broadcasting network. Be sure and log on and visit that site today if you're not there already. Yes, my name is William Roberts. I've got good news of sorts, a lot of news for sure, hard facts, unmistakably, workable solutions. Well, as we find more and more out about the truth, more and more solutions will come to mind. But we're going to have our returning guest today, independent researcher Daryl Everhart, to continue our study and the discussion of the missing gaps in the bloody history of Papal Rome. As we move into the modern period, we're coming up into a time period where most of you listeners have a little bit of experience and knowledge in this, and hopefully you'll be able to participate and call in when you have questions or comments. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game. Be a part of today's broadcast. You can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you can call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around America. And around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. And your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri, the Big Mo, 65647. Again, a big shout-out to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro, 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Again, our listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and, of course, your calls are welcome. This morning, gold hits an 18-month high of $1,021.90 in New York. The metals, the stocks, and the currencies follow suit, while oil and the U.S. dollar decline. We'll talk about all of that quickly in our market report. And again, our returning guest, independent researcher Daryl Everhart, we're going to continue our study and discussion of the missing gaps in the 19th century history of Papal Rome and America. Of course, we'll take your calls and more. Let's go into the market reports for Wednesday, September the 16th, 2009. In active trading out of New York City, 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we find gold trading up $10.50 at $1,017.70 an ounce, although Bloomberg reported at the same time that it was trading at $1,019.30, up 13. So you pick whichever number you like and run with it. Silver moving up as well, up 29 cents, now trading above $17 at $17.30 an ounce. Platinum also up this morning, up $14, trading at $1,338 an ounce. Palladium up $5 as well, trading at $297. The lows and the highs so far in the morning gold spot market, $1,007.90 for a low, $1,021.90 for a high. At about 6 o'clock a.m. this morning, gold spiked up to that high of $1,021.90 in London. And then at about 8:45 a.m. Central Time, there was a second spike, which I didn't get a number on, but it crossed the 1,020 mark as well in New York, so we'll see where that goes. We'll pick it all up on the other side, continue the market reports, and then bring up our very special guest, Daryl Everhart. Stay with us. Back in three.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Prime Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Wednesday, September the 16th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Let's go ahead and close out those market reports for Wednesday, September the 16th, 2009. Again, we do find a lot of activity happening in the marketplace today as we see the price of gold and silver continues to rise. It's also bringing along with it the precious metals, the silver, the platinum, and the palladium. Palladium is rather strong, but the platinum figures at 1338. I'm seeing material on the net today indicating that it may be going higher to somewhere in the neighborhood of the $1,500 range. So keep an eye on that if you have platinum holdings. Going on a little bit further here, we can find the London Gold Fix. The London Gold Fix at $1,017, and of course at 9 o'clock a.m. we were trading just above that. The gold and silver ratio comes into the news a little bit now as we see that number dropping. It's standing at 58.84 as of 9 o'clock a.m. this morning, and that's important for those that follow that indicator as well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, it closed up yesterday 57 basis points or 57 at 9,683. The NASDAQ was up 11 at 2103. The S&P was up 3 at 1053. And in the crude oil, we see it declining to 39 cents at trading at $70.54 a barrel. Locally, unleaded's running about $2.12 and diesel fuel's running $2.39 at the local Stop and Shop. The U.S. dollar index declines as well this morning, off 11 basis points, trading at 76.36. Will it get down to the 71-18 that Robert Chapman thinks it will by October the 1st? Well, we'll have to see, but it's definitely in decline. In the foreign exchange rates, the Canadian dollar up again, 55 basis points at 94 cents, very strong at 94 cents for a Canadian dollar against the U.S. dollar. The Mexican peso strong as well at 8 cents. The euro up a little bit at $1.47. That's causing a little bit of concern and consternation. The British pound drops just a fraction, down 7 basis points, but still trades at $1.65 U.S. And the Swiss franc continues to move higher, up 2 basis points at 97 cents U.S. The bond market, the yield on the 2-year is trading at 0.90%. The 10-year at 3.39. I saw some articles this morning on Bloomberg in regards to that number. They're planning on bringing that down, so we'll see what happens with the 10-year. The 30-year is trading at 4.21%. In the mortgage markets, continuing this decline month on month, it's 15-year mortgage is running at 4.67. It was 4.72 a month ago, and the 30-year mortgage is down at 5.27% from 5.33 a month ago. So all of that is in the news. The ETF securities said in a daily report in its London Platinum ETC holdings rose more than 10,500 ounces on Tuesday, or 3%. There's also activity in the palladium market. So with all of that, let's go ahead and go back to Daryl Everhart. Daryl, good morning, and thank you for joining us once again here on Become Vocal Local.
Hey, good to be on with you again, William. And you're right, we're going through missing gaps in history, and we should be getting to some that more people are knowledgeable about once we move into the Civil War. I knew as a child growing up, I was a history war buff and, you know, created a couple of my own little homemade scrapbooks and stuff about the war. So we should be getting into an interesting area for folks because, as you mentioned earlier, it certainly impacted on the type of government we have today when we start moving through the mid-1800s on up to the present.
Well, up until that point, you know, we were looking at colonies and everything basically was happening east of the Mississippi River. Missouri, of course, was coming on board, but we had lots of territories. There was the Western Expansion, the Oregon Trail, the California Trail. People were moving out, the Santa Fe Trail. People were starting to expand out across the country. There was the whole idea of manifest destiny that was involved in that. A certain amount of expansionism was certainly in everybody's mind. But as we start into this, we have a big area to our south, Texas, that figured heavily in the whole roll-up, if you will, to the war of northern aggression, as many like to call it, or the war of secession, as it might be properly styled, or the Civil War, if we want to look at it from Juris Civilis or Roman law. So lots of different things happening, but Texas was pivotal, really, in this process, insofar as that with the abolitionist fervor that was building on the continent, they were looking at Texas as being, and the expansion to the west, including what is now California, that whole idea was to create a better balance between slave-holding states and non-slaving holding states, as Kansas and the other areas in the Great Plains were being eyed for states. So maybe we want to pick it up there and start to go into a little bit of an understanding of the Mexican-American War and Texas.
Sure, and we'll start out with 1846, which is the year that the Mexican-American War took place. And occasionally I'm going to throw in a quote here by as we march through this part of history, just to show the listeners that we have Roman Catholic prelates from time to time making these very interesting statements about the freedoms that we Americans cherish. So Pope Gregory the 16th died in 1846, and he was pope from 1831 to 1846, and like many other popes, he opposed the freedom of expressing one's ideas either vocally or in writing, especially any ideas that challenge Papal Rome's claims of authority to rule in all temporal and spiritual matters, or that criticized her man-made doctrines and practices that contradict the Bible. So here's what he said in 1846. He said, "The unrestrained freedom of thinking and of openly making known one's thoughts is not inherent in the rights of citizens and is by no means worthy of favor and support. So I just, like I said, I'm going to throw occasionally these little statements in. And I actually have a newsletter up on my website, toughissues.org, that's called Papal Rome's Hatred. And if anyone would like to go up and read that, they can find a whole bunch of these quotes where we have mostly popes, but also high-level prelates like archbishops and bishops in the United States that have made similar quotes condemning the very freedoms that we Americans cherish.
Let me jump in for a second, Daryl. John Stuart Mill, you know, at the same time period, 1859, I believe it was, when his work on liberty first appeared on the scene. And in it, and I've been rereading it this past week, there's a considerable discussion in there on how very valuable and important for liberty or freedom is this idea of being able to get and entertain an open and free discourse. The idea of public opinion and cross currents of public opinion as they are able to shape law and legislation needs to be understood. But he has on page 106 of my book, in the section on liberty of thought and discussion, he simply states this. He says the church has its own way of dealing with this embarrassing problem. What he was talking about there was this open debate where basically the church just solves their problem by not allowing any debate of the issue at all. We'll pick it up right there on the other side with our very special guest, your calls and more. Stay with us.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we have returned once again, and I'll go back and pick up a little bit more quickly out of John Stuart Mill's On Liberty. He says this, he says, persons of genius, it is true, are and always are likely to be a small minority. But in order to have them, it is necessary to preserve the soil in which they grow. Genius can only breathe freely in an atmosphere of freedom. Persons of genius are more individual than any other person or any other people, less capable, consequently, of fitting themselves without hurtful compression into any of the small number of molds which society provides in order to save its members the trouble of forming their own character. So we can understand, folks, that it's very important to be able to allow people to come to the airwaves and to write and to speak their minds freely, to expound new ideas, because it's only through these things that we can actually grow as a people into greater and greater freedom and less tyranny and control. Here's a little bit from Edward Bernays, who some call the father of public opinion. Certainly, it was Edward Bernays who took a look at the German model of propaganda and the Catholic model of propaganda, restyled it, knowing he couldn't use propaganda openly, and he called it public relations. But here's a quote from Edward Bernays. He says, quote, the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind, who harness old social forces and contrive new ways to bind and guide the world. He wrote that in 1928. John Stuart Mill was writing in the 1850s. Daryl?
Right. And we're going to just jump into a little bit about the Mexican-American War. If you want to expand it, that's fine. But I try to bring out little, like I said, missing gaps, little known facts about these wars. And I just found this one out probably less than a month ago. But the Mexican-American War, again, took place 1846 to 1848. But I doubt if many Americans living today are aware of this little fact, that approximately 600 Roman Catholic Irish-American soldiers in the U.S. Army, they were known as the St. Patrick Battalion, deserted from the U.S. Army during that war, and they switched sides. They ended up fighting with Mexico against their fellow American soldiers. And this is going to be kind of important when we get into a much larger desertions when we get into the American Civil War coming up shortly. Okay, you want to jump forward a little bit?
Yes, let's go ahead and explore this area. There's a lot of rich history here that does go under the smoke screen, and certainly from both the high school, college, university level textbooks that I have and the encyclopedias. They don't cover it very well.
No. 1850, we have another U.S. president getting assassinated, and Zachary Taylor, and he was born in 1784. He was a former U.S. general, as a number of our presidents were. He became the 12th president of the United States in 1849, and he served only for 16 months. And the Jesuits in Papal Rome, who would later foment the American Civil War, had their agents in the USA trying to get President Zachary Taylor to authorize an invasion of Cuba. Isn't that interesting, considering what went on with JFK? But anyway, such an invasion would have given three Roman Catholic European countries, Spain, France, and Austria, and England, of the opportunity, England, of course, not being officially Roman Catholic then, the opportunity to declare war on the USA and destroy the young American Constitutional Republic. And we had earlier covered those three secret meetings. Well, I'll mention them just briefly here, that where the planning was actually made to destroy the American Constitutional Republic, and that was, of course, Papal Rome and a number of despotic European monarchs under the leadership of a guy named Prince Metternich, which some people called Mitternacht in German, meaning midnight, because the guy was so evil. But these people, the Papal Rome and these European despotic monarchs, had made plans to destroy the American Republic at the Congress of Vienna in 1814 through 1815, and also at Verona, Italy in 1822. And then again in 1825, we had top-level Jesuits getting together to fine-tune those plans to destroy popular representative government wherever and whenever it would raise its head, because they were, as we mentioned earlier in the previous broadcast, these despotic European monarchs were scared to death that all of these freedoms and the popular representative government would spread like a virus over to Europe. And, of course, these guys were running their countries with an iron fist, where you didn't have the opportunity to speak out as we are doing now, or to put it into print, into newspapers, etc. So again, they were scared to death, and they made plans to destroy this country. And they figured they could get, if they could trick Zachary Taylor into invading Cuba, of course, then Spain, as we mentioned, Spain, France, Austria, and England, it would give them the opportunity to declare war on the USA. And we do know that England and the USA, not only in the Revolutionary War, but also in 1812, had already fought a couple wars. So, again, these European monarchs working behind the scenes to try to get the America destroyed. But anyway, President Taylor had also drawn the wrath of the Jesuits and Papal Rome by speaking out strongly about preserving the American Union. And, of course, we had people working at that time already to try to split the Union in half and in the process create two hostile camps in America. Burke McCarty tells us this about President Taylor's assassination. On the 4th of July in 1850, arsenic was administered to him, meaning President Taylor, during a celebration in Washington. He was in perfect health in the morning and was taken ill in the afternoon about 5 o'clock and died on the Monday following. Having been sick the same number of days and with precisely the same symptoms as was his predecessor, President Harrison. And, of course, as you've mentioned several times in the broadcast previously, the poison cup is one of the Jesuit order's favorite tools of assassination. We shouldn't laugh about it. It just happens so often. And the Jesuit order serves certainly as Papal Rome's primary, what I call, assassination team.
Well, it helps us to get a window into history a little bit and into the moderns if we understand some of the, I would just say, the pathological traits or the signs or the symbols that certain organizations use. You know, so many of them have things that the more overt, the Ku Klux Klan, which I studied a little bit over the weekend as well, its development, you know, that's pretty obvious when people are going around in sheets and stuff. It's right out there and in your face, you know. But some of these more important things, like just understanding the threefold, the poison, the dagger, or the poignard, and some even say the garrote, strangulation, thin cord, and the leaden bullets. You know, these are just three pretty standard modus operandi of a certain group, and when we understand that, we can find that in anarchism and other places in history. But this war with Mexico, and Polk figures into this as well. I was trying to find more about him over the weekend, but Polk certainly, Zachary Taylor, when they came into Mexico, there was quite a process going on. There was really an opportunity, and it was narrowly missed, and it was largely because of the ambassador that was sent down there, Slidell, I think his name was. Slidell. We were at a point where when we had succeeded in taking the capital, that there was the discussion was on the table to just go ahead and take Mexico and conquer it as well. So you know, we got Texas and we got the Indian territory, if you will, that lies to the west of that and the north of that, and also California. But there was much more on the table right there in that discussion.
Right. Want to move on to another year here?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, August 15th, 1854, Pope Pius IX again. He's the guy that supported the Confederacy during the American Civil War. On this very day in 1854, said the following. I think we got a break coming up. We'll give them that quote when we get back.
Should have glanced at that. I'm sorry, Daryl. Yes, you're right. We'll be right back in 3 minutes, folks, with our guest, Daryl Everhart.
Always remember the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke Don Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This has become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. We're visiting today with Daryl Everhart, the author, if you will, or the webmaster of his website. Let me give it out to you folks. You might want to log on and visit his website. He's got a lot of material there that you can read. Many of his writings are one page and two page documents that you can download and print out and hand to other people that might have questions along this line. It is www.toughissues.org. Again, toughissues.org. Just one word, toughissues.org. And Daryl, on your website, there's many of these printouts that are handouts, I guess you could say, write-ups.
William, unfortunately, there aren't a lot of the one-pagers. I got to get those up there on the Internet. Most of the articles up there, I've got 41 articles up there right now, and a fair amount of them are really long articles. They're anywhere between 10 to 20, and a couple of them are 30-page articles. But, yeah, I just wanted to correct that because I should do that. I need to get those. I need to find out. I'm not the webmaster. He's up in Canada. I need to find out if he can maybe create a separate thing where you just click on one thing so that a bunch of the handouts all show up as a separate item on the website. So,
well, I'm glad you corrected me on that, Daryl, because what I have received from Daryl folks over the years, Daryl is one of the greatest little pamphleteers in the world that I know of. Anyway, he sends me these one-pagers that are just poignant. They're a bullet point, point by point by point by point. You can go down through them. Anything on them that you question, he lists the sources. You can go back and check them for yourself and see. And of course, listeners, even the best of us, as we do our research, you know, we might quote something that was from another book, but you have to go back to that other book and check it too, because not everything that's published in print, everything that got into paper, is not necessarily the gospel. If it was, Daryl, we wouldn't have to do these broadcasts.
That's for sure, and we're doing these broadcasts because there's so much that is missing in our American history textbooks and in our encyclopedias. Yeah, they tell you, you know, who were the major generals. Let's just say, talk about the Civil War, General Lee and General Grant and General Sherman. They'll tell you about that. They'll tell you about the big battles at Antietam and Gettysburg, and they'll tell you the losses. But they don't tell you, for the most part, the behind-the-scenes activities that were going on. So it's more of what I would call a sin of omission, leaving out some of the most important things, because wars just don't start because one guy from country A and one guy from country B run up and start shooting at each other.
Yeah.
Generally, there are well-laid plans, sometimes decades in advance, that cause that. You'd mentioned I just want to let the listeners know, I did have 106 articles up there at one time, and some of them were the little one-page bullet points, and they all got pulled one time, so I'm rebuilding the site, so I've got about 41 articles up there now, but we had mentioned that sometimes you have to go and find a really good little book, he said, if you see a quotation, and after the next break, I'll give the listeners, I'll tell them how to get this book. They're going to have to send away for it, but it's, I think we may have even given it last week, but it's a good one to give again. It's two books in one volume, and I'm not going to do it now, but Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, because they cover a lot of this stuff that leads up to the Civil War in these books. That was put out by Brigadier General Thomas M. Harris in 1897. It was published, and the other is The Suppressed Truth about the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and that was published in 1924 by a lady named Burke McCarty, who spent, I forget, it's either 5 or 7 years going around all the different libraries reading, you know, all of these old newspapers from the Civil War era. So this lady really did her homework. So, like I said, that'll give the listeners a chance to grab a pen or a pencil and some paper during the next break, but I'll tell them how to get this neat little book from a mom-and-pop type book publishers.
Okay,
and
well, one of the things that, you know, for just to add into this, if we can understand what all transpired, you know, under the Bush administration, you know, knowing that Robert Zoellick is the historian and laying behind the scenes in all of this and the Whitewash Commission and so on and so forth, folks, if you were to just take the headlines, the daily news, the stuff that comes out on the front page, you know, and then write history based on that, you'd have no idea. 100 years from now, 50 years from now, people looking back at this first decade of the 21st century, unless they have access to the information that has been put out in the independent media, if you will, they'll have no idea, really, no understanding of what 9/11 truth is or was or meant. They may never hear the name of William Rodriguez. They may never hear the names of so many of the people that have sacrificed all to try and keep this truth alive and keep it in front of the people. But in the past, we didn't have that access. If you didn't have the printing press, if you didn't have the ink and the paper, these truths would just fall away, and it takes independent researchers like Mary to go out and dig and dig and root and go to the newspapers and look at them. I mean, that's what Eustace Mullins has done. That's what so many other researchers, Edward Griffin, so many others have done, folks. This is where we find the real story, the story behind the story. Daryl?
Right. Let's go ahead and give them that quote I was getting ready to give when we came up on the break, and that's, it was Pope Pius IX, again, who supported the Confederacy, and we'll get into more about that later, but during the American Civil War, but he put out an encyclical letter, and it was dated August 15th, 1854, and he made this statement: "The absurd and erroneous doctrines of ravings in defense of liberty of conscience are a most pestilential error, a pest of all others most to be dreaded in a state." So we're going to find out as we continue this march through history that when church and state combine, they don't want liberty of conscience. They don't want you thinking. They don't want you writing, unless it's within a very narrow a frame, such as writing an art book or something like that. But when you get to history and politics and stuff like such things as that, in that arena, then your thoughts, your ability to write and get the stuff published or anything. It's about non-existent in a state where you have church and state ruling together in a dictatorial manner.
Well, let's look at that church and state briefly, you know, because we supposedly have a separation, you know, between the church and the state in the United States of America across all of the several states. But unfortunately, people that when we have the Internal Revenue Service laying in the background, the Federal Reserve, that separation, true. We don't have an established church like the Anglican Church here. We don't have the established church like the Roman Catholic Church in so many countries all around the world. But we have a different form of established church. We have the 501c3 churches. They're churches that have basically gone into league with the government and receive marching orders and restrictions on their speech, on their activities, the things they can and cannot do in the church, in the pulpit, etc. And so in a way, Daryl, in my mind, we have an organized state-sponsored church here, and it's all those that have climbed into bed with the IRS, in my opinion. How do you feel about that?
I agree with you 100% because if you get a 501c3 tax exemption, which 99.99% of so-called Christians in America who go to a church building are getting, then you are not allowed to speak out against anything that goes against public policy. So technically, if they want to, the IRS can have a couple agents. If you have a super big church or something, they can have them sitting in there, and if or someone, just maybe one of your congregations, a little disenchanted with the pastor or the whatever, and notifies the IRS that you're speaking out against, let's say, abortion, and they can technically shut you down. So I knew a lot of independent fundamentalist preachers that said, well, the government doesn't muzzle us. But yes, yeah, they really do, because if you step over, again, the line there, and they have some lines drawn, you can be in a big trouble. And we do know in history that several pastors and their churches have gone down in this country. I think of Sullivan out in Nebraska and others. If you're incorporated in a state, you're a creature of the state. And he found that out when he went before a judge in Nebraska, and the judge said to him, and this was about his independent school and that they were running on the church property. He said, I agree 100% with you, Pastor, but you got to realize you have to look at this, and he held up the document. He says, you're incorporated in the state of Nebraska, which means you're a creature of the state of Nebraska.
A legal fiction, and it's not just here's the church and here's the steeple and look inside and there's all the people. A lot of people style themselves, ministers style themselves as having a ministry. But if you listened on the internet or on the shortwave, they will ask for donations and things like that. And then if you are dealing with a 501c3 ministry, quote unquote, those would be tax deductible contributions to their ministry. Some ministries don't have a tax deduction. Some of them have not become legal fictions in law. They are not 501c3s, and you might find a place of fellowship there that might be more profitable to your spirit, certainly, and you might even be able to find a firebrand that will look at the political circus that's going down and warn as well. So that's just something I wanted to bring in this segment. Daryl, I know it doesn't have anything to do with the Mexican-American War, but it's certainly important for us to understand where we get our information. Folks, we'll be right back on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, unlike other companies that just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at ReadyReserveFoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth of our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we have returned once again. And so going back and visiting a little bit deeper into this concept or the historical facts of the our war with Mexico, another thing that comes into this, not only did Henry Harrison die just after serving scarcely a month to be then replaced by Tyler, John Tyler. John Tyler was, some say, the one that openly and outwardly brought in this idea of manifest destiny. And that's going to translate into a lot more history as we get into the expansionism of Seward and Fremont and others. They're also all part of this this time period, very important time period, understanding well that socialism per se, French socialism, many look to Claude Henri du Rouvroy Saint-Simon as the founder of that. Certainly the Saint-Simonians, they got into a real brouhaha with the Rothschilds over credit mobilier of France and Spain, or excuse me, France and Europe. But at the same time, over here, we had other things going on when Polk, also a president of the United States, when Polk declared basically that a war existed with Mexico and caused a great stir in Congress. This was the first time, and certainly not the last, but the first time in our history, our country's history, that a war was declared by the president and not by Congress. So the Congress just gave their support to it, but that's another piece of history. So a lot of worms were in the apple, and they started to really turn at this period. The abolitionists, the women's suffrage movements, all of this, the labor movements, all of these things were now starting to come on us and at us.
Right. Well, I hope they grab their pen or pencil and paper, because I've got this book right in front of me. It's a really neat little book. It's, well, I shouldn't say too little. It's 270 pages. And as I'm looking at it, when you open it up, and again, it's two books in one volume, but on the first page, they've got these four portraits of the different presidents, and it says, Jesuit oath fulfilled 5 times in 60 years. And then they have the picture of President William Henry Harrison, or portrait, I should say, by the poison cup, April 4th, 1841. Then they have Zachary Taylor, president, by the poison cup, July 5th, 1850. Then President James A. Garfield, by the leaden bullet, July 2nd, 1881. And then they have William McKinley, president, by the lead and bullet, September 6, 1901. Of course, they don't have a picture of Lincoln on the front here, but those were the five presidents. And we're going to be getting into the attempted assassination on James Buchanan that took the lives of a lot of people that were with him at a dinner. But anyway, this 270-page paperback book with two books in one volume. The first book is, and just ask for the Lincoln assassination book. You don't need to write down these titles, but the full title of the first book is Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, and it's by Thomas M. Harris, late Brigadier General in the U.S. Army, and he was one of the men on that 12-man military commission that tried eight of the conspirators in the Lincoln assassination and hung four of them. And again, it's not just about, the books aren't just about the Lincoln assassination. They deal with the lead up to the American Civil War and give you a lot of kind of interesting insights into that period, that time frame of, say, like about 1850 up to the Civil War, and then, of course, cover the assassination of Lincoln and the trials. There were trials that took place after, not just the military commission, but then they had a civil trial in 1867 of John Harrison Surratt, and that's covered quite a bit in this book. By the way, he walked, and we'll get into that more about that later, when the jury got hung. A hung jury. He didn't get hung. And he died peacefully in Baltimore, Maryland. The second book is in this two-book volume is The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. I mentioned that was written by Burke McCarty, who, by the way, like I said, spent, I think it was five or seven, I think it was really seven, if I remember correctly, years just going around. She really did her homework. But they can get this great book. And, by the way, it's got drawings and it's got a number of pictures in the back that show you actual photographs of some of the places where the, such as the Mary Surratt's home where the whole plot to, kill Lincoln was hatched. And, actually, I think it's got a picture here of, where the four people are being hung. And then, by the way, that was the first time a woman was hung by the federal government, was Mary Surratt. So again, a lot of this is not really talked much about. But anyway, to get this book, just ask for the Lincoln assassination book. You would, it's $14 postage paid to U.S. locations, $14. You would make your check or money order payable to Ozark Books. I'll give everything twice. That's O-Z-A-R-K, Ozark Books, Box 3703, Springfield, Missouri, M-O, 65808. Again, $14. Check your money order to Ozark Books and send it to Ozark Books, Box 3703, Springfield, Missouri, MO 65808. And if you're in Canada, you can get it for $19 for our Canadian listeners. But make sure it's U.S. funds only, $19. And again, in U.S. funds only, make that out to Ozark Books. So it's a great little book, and boy, it's one of my favorites, one of the first ones I picked up that really filled in a lot of missing gaps in Civil War, lead-up Civil War history, and also on the Lincoln assassination, because we're not told much more than that John Wilkes Booth shot Lincoln in the back of the head there at Ford Theater, and it doesn't really get too much more into that other than that that Booth was shot later. But they don't tell you about all the other conspirators, and we'll be covering that later on today. So do you want to jump into the attempted assassination of James Buchanan?
Well, we've got about 4 minutes left, and yes, we can go right there, but let me just say this as well, because I didn't really get into it when we're looking at the Bush administration. If we don't understand all of the people that are behind the scenes, you know, Richard Perle, Paul Wolfowitz, all of them, Abramoff, all of them, that were involved in that, the crystals, their relationship with others, then we can't really piece all of this together. So yeah, let's jump back in, pick up at another point and continue, because it's the behind the scenes is where in my research in history, that I found the most, information and the links. When you find these bid actors, these actors and stakeholders that are playing in the behind the scenes, you see that they're there from generation to generation, family to family, and then it helps us to understand things a little better. The presidents oftentimes are just front men.
For sure. Although we did have a couple courageous ones over 100 years ago. I think the last president that really stood up and bucked the system was John Kennedy. and he got a bullet.
Yeah, he
paid several bullets for that.
Paid the price there. Mm-hmm.
February 23rd, 1857, we get an attempted assassination on President James Buchanan, and author Bill Hughes, page 39 of his book, The Secret Terrorist, tells us the following about that event. President James Buchanan was poisoned, and again on February 23rd, 1857, and almost died. He lived because he knew that he had been given arsenic poisoning and so informed his doctors. He knew that the Jesuits had poisoned Presidents William Henry Harrison and President Zachary Taylor with arsenic. The Jesuit order fulfilled their oath again that they would poison, kill, or do whatever was necessary to remove those who opposed their plans. And I have a little note inside the quote here. Buchanan had opposed Jesuit plans to divide the Union. Again, they were working overtime to do that. By his refusal to attack those southern states that had expressed their desire to leave the Union. Back to the quote. From 1841 to 1857, we saw three U.S. presidents were attacked by the Jesuits, as outlined in the Congresses of Vienna, Verona, and Cherry. Two died and one barely escaped. He's talking about Buchanan. The Jesuits, he means, allow nothing to stand in their way of total domination of America and the destruction of the U.S. Constitution. So Buchanan, again, by his refusal to attack those southern states that wanted to leave the Union, had temporarily thwarted the Jesuits' plans to spark civil war in this country. And if all had worked according to the Jesuits' plans, that would have certainly divided the American Constitutional Republic into two different hostile nations that may have, you know, we may have had Civil War II and III in the decades that would have followed the Civil War, instead of just a massive centralization of the government, which was the Jesuits' plan B, is the best I can make out.
Well, there certainly was a desire on the part of those behind the scenes, working behind the scenes, if you will, to make the leap and to make the tie between the South from Florida all the way across to California, getting that window on the Pacific Ocean in hand and well in hand was absolutely imperative for what they visualized as a nation from sea to shining sea. So many things were happening in the background. It wasn't Slidell who finally accomplished this Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. It was a man named Nicholas P. Trist, chief clerk of the State Department. We'll pick all that up and continue this detailed dissection of this time period right after the top of the hour break. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again right here on our Wednesday, September the 16th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, beginning our second hour of today's broadcast. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com, the official website of this broadcasting network. My name is William Roberts, visiting again today with our very special guest, Daryl Eberhardt. We're looking at a point in American history that's very important to understand. Some of the machinations behind the scenes, certainly the Mexican-American War, you might say, was a turning point, a tipping point, when the United States of America really got underway, much more so than at any time prior. It had been a slow development and expansion up to then, but this is where the tables really started to turn and we became a geopolitical force, if you will. But in this, understand very clearly, listeners, please, that most of South America and at the time, and most of, you know, Mexico too and Central America is largely Catholic. And you can verify that for yourself in the encyclopedias if you wish. But, the idea that, the California area, which became the state of California and others, eventually, but that was largely the Spanish American population there was reduced basically to the status of a minority. How? Well, ostensibly, with the gold rush, when they discovered, someone was building a sawmill out there and they supposedly found a few flakes and they had them assayed and they turned out to be gold, pure gold. But with the gold rush, the gates opened up and out of Europe, out of England, out of South America, out of places all around the world, the gates opened up, the Golden Gate, if you will, opened up, and we began to receive people that we had never previously allowed into this country. A lot of the immigration standards were set aside. We had the expansion of the railroad system coming on. But this is a very important period because not only, Daryl, was this Mexican-American war going on, they were also anticipating war with England. It would be a war on two fronts over the Northwest Territory. So there was a lot of action going on there, and anytime there's a lot of action happening in a country, folks, all of the cockroaches come sliding out of the dark and try and find their way into positions of power, and we certainly had plenty of those cockroaches scurrying around at this time period, Daryl.
Right. I'm going to give them a definition that I made up for the Knights of the Golden Circle, because they were not only involved in helping to foment the American Civil War, but they were every conspirator at the low to mid levels in the Lincoln assassination were all Knights of the Golden Circle, including John Wilkes Booth. But before I give them that definition, I've got a short quote here by President John F. Kennedy, because the more I've studied all of these different oaths, say in the Knights of the Golden Circle, the fourth degree above oath in the Knights of Columbus, Jesuit oaths, you'll find out they look like they all got written by the same guy. Because, you know, they all have these horrible things of, I'll allow myself to be split open and my intestines ripped out, and if I ever divulge a single secret of my society, etc. So this quote by John Kennedy is precious. It's his speech to the press club here. And he says, "The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweigh the dangers which are cited to justify it." And that's one of the reasons they killed Kennedy. This guy was on the ball about secret societies and that. And really, when we look at the Freemasonry throughout the history of this country, we can see what Kennedy was talking about.
Absolutely. We'll pick it up right there on the other side, folks. Suppressio viri, fraud, and has been a legal maxim for centuries. We'll be right back.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, "Information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. Enginebrain.com. Enginebrain.com.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local for sure. And there's so much happening here at this time period, folks. The election of 1848, the compromise of 1850. Back again, it says during 1849, I'm reading out of a college textbook here, Short History of the American Nation, 5th edition. During 1849, 25,000 Americans made their way to California from the east by ship. More than 55,000 others crossed the continent by overland routes. About 8,000 Mexicans, 5,000 South Americans, and many numbers of Europeans joined the rush. This is all this gold rush. But let's understand as well that 1848 is instrumental in Europe. This is when the Communist Manifesto was being created. All of this communism and socialism was starting to upheave over there. And whenever you have people, some 55,000 crossing by overland routes, 25,000 from the east coast of the U.S., if you will, the colonies, the states, 25,000 leaving there and going, you've got this vacuum left behind, and vacuums absolutely beg to be filled. And so what happened was we started to have a massive influx of people from Europe and Eastern Europe into the United States, and it was many of them that then started to get into positions of power and start to shape the coming 20th century. So a lot was happening there. And if we just think about the gold rush without thinking of the global scene, we make a blunder. And certainly when you gave us the quote from Kennedy, so true it is, you know, suppressio viri, folks, and I may be mispronouncing it. I don't have any training in Latin, but the suppression of truth has been considered in law, it's a legal maxim, a fraud. And so when we get into this idea of suppressing truth, then we're actually engaging in a fraud, and certainly it's fraudulent to act that way, but it also harms the people's minds. We need to be informed. We need to understand these truths. But back to you, Daryl. I'm just kind of rambling on there.
Right, and let me give them that definition for the Knights of the Golden Circle, because this is, although it's not one of the largest organizations in the world at the time, it did have a very important role to play in this time frame of history. So here's what I kind of put together for the Knights of the Golden Circle. The Knights of the Golden Circle was a secret society that helped to foment the bloody American Civil War of 1861 to 1865. It took the lives of up to 620,000 American soldiers, and of course that's a combined total dead from wounds and disease from both sides, and possibly up to 50,000 civilians. That's something that's not talked about. A lot of civilians down in the South got killed during the war. Anyway, the Jesuit order set up and controlled the Knights of the Golden Circle. In other words, the Knights of the Golden Circle, just like the modern Illuminati, was simply a Jesuit front group. John Wilkes Booth, the man who shot Abraham Lincoln on April 14, 1865, and who was one of at least 10 low to mid-level conspirators, I would call them, in the attempt to decapitate the leadership of the United States of America at that date. We have to remember, and let me finish that, was a member of the Knights of the Golden Circle. We have to remember that Lincoln was not the only target, and we'll get into that more later, but they Seward, the Secretary of State, just barely survived when he was slashed. A guy, a very large man in those days, over 6 foot, tried to cut him apart with a large, like, Bowie knife, and he just barely survived that attack. They were supposed to kill Grant, but Grant didn't begged off on his engagement that night and went elsewhere. I think his wife was sick or something. But anyway, and one of the conspirators was to take out the vice president, but he got cold feet at the last minute and rode off in the other direction. So this was not an attempt just to take out Lincoln. This was an attempt to decapitate the entire leadership of the United States government at that time.
A coup d'etat.
And here's what author Berg McCarty in her book, The Suppressed Truth About the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln, said. She stated that I'm not giving a direct quote, but she stated she believed that all of these, and as I call them, low to mid-level conspirators in the Lincoln assassination, were members of the Knights of the Golden Circle. And I've looked at the oaths that these guys took, and she has it in her book. The oath that John Wilkes Booth took upon admission into the Knights of the Golden Circle resembles quite closely some of the oaths taken by Jesuits and Freemasons, and also, I might add, the Fourth Degree Knights of Columbus oath that I saw that was around the turn of the century. So let's jump into the American Civil War.
Well, there's still a little bit more on this particular section, but I think that it suffices where we have laid it out, that we can understand that there was also this other problem that was going on, and that is from a financial, the economic side of it. One of the problems that the southern states were dealing with, being largely agricultural, was that it was felt among them that the northern states had economic advantages over them that they were not going to be able to long endure, and they were looking at the opportunity of being able to expand their economic sphere to include greater than the North. Every shovel in the South, every plow, every cloth, every button, every shoe, they were having to purchase from the northern states, and then the foodstuffs and whatnot, and their cotton exports were being tariffed heavily. So they were in a tough place. They were really at a rock and a hard spot. So there's a lot of information that we need to understand about what was actually driving this, and slavery, even though that has come up as a big issue, largely in from the standpoint of historical revisionism, there were many, many other issues that were going on as well, not to mention how strongly they felt about the states' rights, and they did not agree with the idea of the Pledge of Allegiance to one nation under God, indivisible. That was a Bellamy addition there. Indivisible, no. They believed that the states that were fully empowered to separate from this union that they had gotten themselves into. They came into it voluntarily, and voluntarily, if they wanted to leave, they could. And so states' rights figured into this as well. So we've got economic, political, and social agencies at work. But yes, let's go ahead and move into the actual time period.
Right. Well, I can flesh out the Knights of Golden Circle a little bit more. And that they were actually formed up in Ohio, and they were they got to be big in several states up north. Indiana was another state that they were big in, and down in Baltimore, Maryland. And what these guys did was, and we find this true in almost all history of wars, most of the people in the North and South did not want to fight each other. But what happened was these guys up north, these Knights of the Golden Circle, again a Jesuit front group, the oaths are the same, they went down, and they started trying to, this was, you know, like almost a decade before, they're down there in the South, and they're saying, because the Southerners, they had some militias, but they were like guys that were 60 or 70 years older in that time frame, and that would, you know, march on patriotic days, but basically, the South was not prepared for war, was not, for most part, was not interested in the bloodshed. And these guys went down, and they were rabble-rousers, these Knights of the Golden Circle from the North, and they were saying, hey, you guys need to fight. You know, you have rights. You really need to fight, and we'll help. We'll bring down some arms for you and stuff. We'll help train you and everything. So these guys are going down trying to foment the war. And as I said, most people in the North and South did not want to fight. I mean, my goodness, we had Americans, you know, fight on both sides here. That it would be an internecine fight, as they say.
Absolutely. Breaking up the family and causing tremendous mayhem. Folks, we'll be back right after this break. Stay with us with our special guest, Daryl Eberhardt.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth of our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
And returning again right here, on Become Vocal Local. You know, we look at all of this, all of the tensions. Remember that we just have added Texas into what would be the southern opposition to secession. Texas was a huge area. It really didn't have a big part in this battle, largely because it was so huge that it was very difficult for anybody to make any hay against it, and it was just brand new into the country, so to speak. But here we see that, let me see if I can find it. Yes, worldwide impulses of nationalism then stirring in Italy, Germany, Poland, and elsewhere were fermenting in the South. This huge area with its distinctive culture was not so much a section as a sub-nation. It could not be viewed, or it could not view with complacency the possibility of being lorded over then or later by what it regarded as a hostile nation of Northerners. And so there's a real fascinating history in all of this as we go through the various players, President Jefferson Davis and the others, the contention that was building between the North and the South. Seward was not necessarily a well-liked person. Seward's folly, the acquisition, if you will, of Alaska, so on. We've got California coming into the mix, Alaska in the mix. This is a very, very, very tumultuous time period, Daryl.
Right. And I had mentioned about the Knights of the Golden Circle. Of course, they're not the only ones fomenting the war. The Jesuits in control also of high-level Freemasonry. We had some high-level Freemasons on both sides of that conflict. We'll get into that a little bit more later. I just want to say a word about Lincoln, because Lincoln does take quite a bit of heat, and he did do some very tyrannical acts, such as, you know, the Maryland, some of the legislature that was getting ready to, Maryland wanted to secede, it looked like, and he imprisoned them. He did do some tyrannical things, but Lincoln was caught between a rock and a hard place. He really was. He knew that they wanted to destroy the Union. He knew that these machinations were coming for the destruction of the Union, or at least try to split it up, was coming from Europe. He knew that there were going to be attempts on his life, which, by the way, the first one was when he first got elected in Baltimore. There was a plot to kill him down there in Baltimore, Maryland, as his train was supposedly going to go through there. But I want to give a little quote about Lincoln here, because, again, he takes a lot of heat, and some of it's rightfully deserved, but, again, he was caught between a rock and a hard place, and had not Russia, through Tsar Alexander II, with part of his fleet coming to our aid, had intervened, probably the Union would not have survived. Here's a quote that's taken from Words of Lincoln by O.H. Oldroyd, and he says, Lincoln said, "When I left Springfield, Illinois, I asked the people to pray for me. I was not a Christian." So it's by his own admission, this is when he's becoming president, he's not a Christian. A lot of Christians, I believe, in, even to this day, are nominal, in name only. But anyway, he said, "When I buried my son, the severest trial of my life, I was not a Christian. But when I saw the graves of thousands of our soldiers," and he's talking about at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania in 1863, "I then and there consecrated myself to Christ. I do love Jesus Christ." So, kind of interesting. We're told that a lot of our founding fathers are all deists and that, and some were, but the vast majority, and I've read the diaries like of George Washington and that, and when you do, you'll find out a lot of these men just had a simple faith in Jesus Christ. They were real Christians. Some of them were, yes, low-level Freemasons, but we need to keep in mind that we're going through some ugly parts of history here, but we have had men that did take stands, such as Lincoln and John Fitzgerald Kennedy. It got them killed, yes, but we have had courageous men throughout history who have taken stands against tyranny and those who wanted to destroy the freedoms that, again, we Americans cherish so dearly.
Well, when he took the oath of office on March the 4th of 1861, again, referring to a different book now, but another college text, he basically... he had to come into town at night disguised as thwart assassins, the author here writes, but he thus became the president, not of the United States of America, but of the disunited States of America. So you're right, Daryl. He came in with certain challenges. How he dispatched his term in office is to, you know, to be revealed here in these broadcasts and elsewhere. But it certainly wouldn't be a good time to be a president stepping into office.
No, it was probably the most horrible time for any president up to that point because, a few presidents before that, like Buchanan and that, had resisted the efforts to split the union. But he came right in when, you know, the states had already declared their intention, a number of southern states, to secede. And I'm not saying that the South, I don't want to get too much into favoring one side or the other, because I think most of the men that fought on both the side of the North and the South believed they were doing what was right. What really bothers me is that we had Americans killing Americans by machinations that came out of Europe.
That's right. You know, it's these behind the scenes things. Here's a quote from Lincoln in 1862. It says, "My paramount object in this struggle is to save the Union, and is not to save or destroy slavery." He was mixed on that issue as well throughout the whole process. You know, we hear about modern day politicians flip flopping and stuff like that. Well, he was flip flopping around like a cod on the poop deck. But nevertheless, this is a very difficult time period. It brought us to where we are today. Many of the problems that we have today found themselves getting started here at this time, going throughout what we could just say is the Civil War, then through Reconstruction. Many of the European powers and forces that had long desired to destroy this country got major footholds at this time period, and I think, Daryl, we're still suffering from those footholds gained then.
Boy, that's for sure. And what one of the worst things that came out of the American Civil War. Now, another thing in Lincoln's favor that people sometimes tend to forget is that when the war was over, he wanted to bring the South back under very generous and kind terms. The radical Republicans in Congress wanted to punish the South horribly and brutally, and we got the 14th Amendment, et cetera. But had Lincoln not been murdered, and of course they tried to remove Johnson and they failed by one vote to impeach Johnson, but Lincoln and Johnson, Andrew Johnson, both wanted to bring the South back under very generous terms, and we would have not had, I believe, had Lincoln survived, we would have not had this 14th Amendment, and we would not have had this horrible Reconstruction period that really tormented the South and treated them basically as an occupied nation for a number of years. But we're jumping ahead a little bit, so let's get back into the American Civil War. And I'd mentioned that the Jesuit Front Group, the Knights of the Golden Circle, helped to foment that bloody war. But we also had high-level Freemasons on both sides of the conflict, and they played a major role also in fomenting the American Civil War. It's interesting. Anytime you have a war, you always have a couple guys in key positions on both sides of the conflict that say, "We got to fight. We got to fight. We got to fight," when the vast majority of the people do not want to fight. So anyway, C.T. Wilcox, he wrote a pretty interesting book called The Transformation of the Republic, The Origins of the Religious Hijacking of the American Government and the Truth Behind the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. It's kind of like the old books that give you a title and subtitle. But on page 8 of his book, he says this about the American Civil War. "The Civil War was not a homespun affair. It was the result of the same upheavals that had changed the face of Europe. The promises and active help of the European empires and the Church of Rome, along with the Jesuit order, had stiffened the resolve and attitude of Southern leaders, some of whom were quite willing to see the monarchic principle triumph in North America." And again, we're getting back to these divine writers in Europe that through those the Congress of Vienna, the meetings at Verona, and then later Sherry, Italy, where they planned the destruction of America. This is all coming into play, and I believe that the American Civil War was certainly the major fruit of those three early 19th century meetings. Here's what author Eric John Felt said.
Hold that. Yeah. We're going to come right up on a break here. Another quote out of our textbook. At the very outset, Lincoln was obliged to declare publicly that he was not fighting to free the black. Folks, there's a lot to this story. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse.
Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book, exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. Our call-in number, folks, is 866-841-1065. Brian in Arizona, you called in earlier in the broadcast, but you didn't stay on the line long enough for me to get to you. So if you'd like to call back again today, you're certainly welcome to do so. Back before we go back to you, Daryl, I'll just give you a couple little tidbits out of this history text again. There's a cartoon that's reproduced in this textbook that was originally published in the Harper's Weekly, 1860, and it shows a group of the old world, the leaders, I guess you'd say, the monarchs, if you will. They're all wearing crowns and things like that, and they're just doubled over in laughter, and the caption underneath it says, "Oh, ain't we sorry?" And this is what the text says. Why were the upper classes of Western Europe so favorably disposed to the Confederacy? They had from the beginning and abhorred the incendiary example of the American democratic experiment and were overjoyed to see that long smoking chimney at last take fire. Moreover, the semi-feudal aristocratic elements, especially in England, had long cherished something of a fellow feeling for the semi-feudal aristocratic society of the South. The foreign offices of both Britain and France, reflecting these pro-Southern sentiments, naturally welcomed the breakup of the fast-growing and ever-threatening United States. Leaders of both British industrial and commercial life likewise hailed the newly born Confederacy. So you can see that once again, just like in the Versailles Treaty and the Bank for Reconstruction Finance out of World War II, World War I, World War II time period, all of these things that were happening here in the Civil War, these were precursors to what was going to be used as standard operating procedures in Europe in the years to come. But, Daryl, very interesting stuff here that we can see that, just like you said, the Verona Treaty and the others are indicators of what the real sentiment in Europe was and how the Rothschilds, who financed both sides of every war and profit from it, and others as well, they were all looking very handily at this opportunity to make big profits and to break up to the Union.
Right, and to see a lot of American blood spread, because not only did they fear that freedom would spread to their countries like a virus, but as you just mentioned, they did not like the geopolitical scene that was beginning to take place, because America was becoming a powerhouse on the block. Before that time, for over 1,000 years, the main power on the planet resided on the European continent and, of course, England. So, yeah, they were probably like the little caricature shows, dancing with joy at the sight of Americans shedding Americans' blood, and their deepest hope was that, again, we would end up in two separate nations that would be at each other's throats.
Or better still, a reversion to this Continental Congress, where you have eventually 50 states, just like in the European Union, without a central government that they could rally around, if you will, for their own defense. If you can divide up a nation, and we see that in the established political party systems, when you divide a people, a house divided cannot stand, a nation divided against itself will surely fall, and that was some of Lincoln's sentiment as well.
Right, the old divide and conquer. And they would have really loved to have seen, if they couldn't break the Union in two, they settled on Plan B, which was to have a great centralization of power so that we would no longer have a state rights system of a confederation of states that were pretty much all equal. And you had mentioned earlier about the tariffs and that. Lincoln himself admitted, I don't know if a lot of the listeners know this, but most of the people in Lincoln's cabinet wanted to let the South go. They did not want to fight. They said, you know, there are brothers and sisters. Let them go in peace. Lincoln, I think he had one other guy in the cabinet, were the only ones that were in favor of war. And Lincoln himself said, I'd let them go, except that the federal government depends mostly on the tariffs system our main source of income, the tariffs, the high tariffs that they had on the cotton.
Well, the South really felt that they had it in the bag, because they knew that cotton was king, and at their time it certainly was. They also had a considerable amount of other natural resources. They were willing to trade on an international scale, and all of this jeopardized, again, the hegemony that had been built in the Eastern Seaboard as the new barons and the new captains of finance and industry, those that were really leading the charge in the Industrial Revolution, were gaining their footing. So it was to, you know, like they say, if you've got everything to gain by trying and nothing to lose, by all means try. The South had something to gain by trying. The North had everything to gain and nothing to lose by trying to keep the South connected together. The Europeans had everything to gain and nothing to lose by trying to agitate and break us up. So on all sides, again, you know, Lincoln walked into a sweatbox.
Yeah, or a hornet's nest.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's I'll give a couple quotes by Eric John Phelps here. I don't have, here's what he says in Vatican's Assassins, page 304 of his first edition of the book. He said, the Jesuits, with their holy alliance of despots, and he means European despots, conspired to overthrow Protestant republicanism, especially the federal government of the United States of America. And I'm going to jump to my book of quotations here for another short quote by him. He said, the Jesuits would control both sides of the conflict, he means of the American Civil War, as they did during the Napoleonic Wars. They controlled the radicals in the North, especially Thaddeus Stevens in the House, Charles Sumner in the Senate, and Freemason Edwin Stanton, Lincoln's Secretary of War. They also controlled the leadership in the South, particularly Jefferson Davis and Judah Benjamin, the Secretary of War. And I don't remember which one it was. I think it might be Charles Sumner. But of those two guys I mentioned, Thaddeus Stevens, which I'm ashamed to say, I think he was from Pennsylvania. But anyway, Charles Sumner, the Senator, I'm pretty sure it was him, was very good friends with old Prince Midnight,
yeah,
the guy that oversaw Prince Metternich. As I said, the Germans made a play on words there, and they called him Mitternacht, which means midnight. But Prince Midnight was the one that presided over that Congress of Vienna in 1814 to 1815. And here we have one of these top radical Republicans as his good buddy, and they exchanged letters, etc. I think he might have even gone over and visited Metternich in Germany. Or Austria, I should say. He was Austrian.
Yeah.
So anyway, we've got these guys, these divine writers, some of them good buddies with some of the people that are controlling the radical Republican faction within the U.S. Congress. Here's another little interesting quote, very short quote, by Bill Hughes. I'm going to give a lot of different individuals here. Author of The Secret Terrorist, on page 53 of his book, he says, "The Roman Catholic Church sowed the seed of division between the two great sections of this country, dividing North from South on the burning question of slavery." And I think most people will tell you, if they're honest, that the war was primarily not over slavery. Yes, that helped, you know, set some sparks off, but the war was primarily over freedom for the South, the right to secede, and also economics, as you had mentioned.
Here's another quote from this text. It says, "Until the Emancipation Proclamations of 1862 and 1863, many observers conceded to the South the superior moral cause. Despite this dark stain of slavery, it was fighting for self-determination, for self-government, for its peculiar social structure, for hearth and home, and for their fundamental freedoms. The favorite slogans were death before dishonor, and for our altars and our fireside." So, yeah, if we don't understand, you know, folks, that the Habsburg dynasty, you know, they ran some 600 years, that the dark nobility, the black nobility of Europe is all over this thing like a glove. There's so many hands in this process. Both sides had reasons. Slavery was brought up as the straw man. Ultimately, it was the tipping point. But the abolitionists, if you go back and pick up with not only James Mill and John Stuart Mill, the rise of the Fabian Socialists, Sidney and Beatrice Webb, Lord and Lady Amberley, the idea of women's suffrage, every man, one vote, all of these things were coming on us and at us at the same time. And they weren't this libertarian notion that people put up on the altar. These were all ways that they could undermine our systems, undermine our cultures, and rewrite our Constitution for us. And it's happened.
Right. And the next quote I got is from a guy that was right there on the scene, U.S. Army Brigadier General Thomas M. Harris, a member of the 12-man military commission that tried 8 of the conspirators involved in the Lincoln assassination. He tells us this on pages 16 and 17 of his book, Rome's Responsibility for the Assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Quote, "It was the Pope of Rome," and he means Pius IX, "and his faithful lieutenant, Louis Napoleon," he's also known as Napoleon III, "who, taking advantage of our American Civil War, undertook to establish a Roman Catholic Empire in Mexico, and for this purpose sent Maximilian, a Roman Catholic prince, and I might add with the blessings of the Pope, under the protection of a French army, to usurp dominion and take possession of the country," means Mexico. We've got a break coming up, so we'll finish that quote.
Okay, real good. Right on the other side. Yeah, we're caught in the pinchers, folks. We have Canada on the north and Mexico on the south, and everybody's working against us. We'll be right back.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Millions of Americans are beginning to realize the enormity of the economic and political problems facing the U.S. and the world. And for the first time in their lives, they are feeling the need for preparedness. Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, manufacturing the finest in dehydrated foods for almost 40 years. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer. Unlike other companies that just broker canned foods, Ready Reserve controls the quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packaging. When purchasing from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Other companies are quoting delivery times of 1 to 2 months, while Ready Reserve ships within 5 business days. Many companies do not even offer a catalog. We will be more than happy to send a catalog to you free of charge. Dial 1-800-453-2202, 1-800-453-2202, or visit our website at readyreservefoods.com. Factory direct, wholesale pricing from Ready Reserve Foods. Call us at 1-800-453-2202.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
And we've returned once again here in our last and final segment of today's broadcast. And if you think, folks, that the pincher that I described in the as we were going to the break is erroneous or foolish, just remember that the dominions north of us, Canada, and the land to our south, Mexico, the Security and Prosperity Partnership Agreement, not only have we been tried, has there been an attempt to divide us north from south, but there's also a ongoing attack right now to divide us east from west on this Trans-Texas Corridor, this NASCO Corridor, that would link up basically everything to the south with everything in Canada and split us right up the middle. This is a long-held desire to affect this change, and it's continuing. And if you think that the people that are flooding across our southern border are Mormons or Methodists or Puritans, think again. And if you think that the direction coming from the north, from Canada, is just something that is going to benefit the Canadians, think again. Look and see whose image appears on the Canadian dollar and what land ownership that the Queen and the Crown and the Parliament assembled. This black nobility of Europe never sleeps. They never go away. It's intergenerational. And if we fall asleep on this, they can and will succeed. But Daryl, you were giving us a great quote by Thomas Harris, U.S. Army Brigadier General. Let's pick that up from the beginning, and I've got another one that I could add to it if you haven't.
Okay. And we'll start over again because I had only gotten into the first sentence. And again, I mean, we've got to remember that this guy was, he had his feet on the scene at the time. He was involved in the Civil War, American Civil War, and also on that 12-man military commission that tried 8 of the conspirators, right, involved in the Lincoln assassination. He said it was the Pope of Rome, Pius IX, and his faithful Lieutenant Louis Napoleon, who, taking advantage of our American Civil War, undertook to establish a Roman Catholic Empire in Mexico, and for this purpose sent Maximilian, a Roman Catholic prince, under the protection of a French army. I don't know if you remember, William, I think he was about 1,000 men, Do you remember?
I don't have a number on the tip of my tongue, but let's go.
But anyway, I think it was about 1,000. Anyway, to usurp dominion and take possession of the country, and he means Mexico. All of this was done in the hope that the Union cause would be lost, and that through the strife that she, and he means Papal Rome, had fomented, two Roman Catholic empires, and he means the two nations controlled by Papal Rome, would be established on the North American continent, namely that of Mexico under Emperor Maximilian, and that of the Confederacy under Jefferson Davis, who, by the way, interestingly, was trained a lot, went to Catholic schools, thus making it possible to make a conquest, and he means for Papal Rome, of the entire continent. This letter, and he's talking about the December 3rd, 1863 letter of Pope Pius IX to Confederate States President Jefferson Davis, couched in such courteous and loving terms, and showing so clearly that his sympathy was with the Southern cause, was well understood by his, he means the Pope's, loyal and faithful subjects all over the North. Roman Catholic officers in the Union Army began to resign, and the Roman Catholic rank and file began to desert from the time of the publication of that letter, and I'm adding this, of Pope Pius IX to Jefferson Davis, to the close of the American Civil War. General, and I'm just adding this now, Brigadier General Harris also goes on to let us know that of the 144,000 Irishmen, and of course they're predominantly Roman Catholic, that enlisted in the Union Army, 104,000 deserted. So 104,000 out of 144,000 of these Catholic Irishmen deserted from the Union Army, the vast majority of them deserting right after that letter from Pope Pius IX, warmly supporting the Confederacy, was sent to Jefferson Davis as soon as that was published. And of course, the vast majority, again, of those guys, as soon as that publication of that letter hit the streets in America, they started deserting en masse from the Union Army. And General Harris also tells us on page 16 of his book, it was the Pope of Rome and he alone of all the European potentates that gave his recognition and his blessing to the Confederate government. Of course, he means during the American Civil War. You said you had a quote there?
Yes, I do. Another one from Harris. But before I go there, let me just give you a little brief one here. This is out of, again, a textbook, university level history book, if you will. Archduke Maximilian, the younger brother of Austria's Habsburg Emperor, popular sentiment in the United States opposed the French adventure. Once the Civil War ended, Seward Stone, blah, blah, blah. By 1867, Napoleon III of France tired of the expense. He withdrew his troops, refusing to leave. Maximilian was captured and executed by the Mexicans. So there's that. But yes, Thomas Harris also has another quote that you sent to me. Here it is. Rome's responsibility for the assassination of Abraham Lincoln, close quote, a foreign political power, in other words, Papal Rome, has gotten a lodgment, which is, you right here, a military term for a foothold that has been gained or seized in the enemy's territory in this land of liberty, i.e. the American Constitutional Republic, and is evidently bent on the destruction of our free institutions and substituting them for papal despotism, a despotism that lords it over the minds, the consciences, and the actions of its subjects, and thus renders them incapable of loyalty to any other government. So there's so many intrigues in all of this. There's the social, the political, the theological, if you will, intrigues that are working to undermine our system. It's no surprise that we have such a turmoil where people really don't know what to do, what to think. Everyone's asking questions. Everyone knows that our time in this as a country is short if we don't do something. But all of the customs, the tongues, the tribes, the trees, the traditions of that we came into this onto this continent with, they've been uprooted, upsided down, and as a people, we're just kind of left defenseless, walking around in circles.
Yeah. Let's finish up with one more quote here, and it's Dr. William P. Grady. He tells us this about this time frame in history. Despite a declared neutrality, and he means during the American Civil War, the Holy See, he means the papacy, was secretly aiding and abetting the Confederacy in the hope of dividing Christian America. The degree to which the Vatican could affect President Lincoln's war measures was astounding. Roman Catholic citizens in the North aligned with their Southern brethren by voting Democratic, dodging or defending slavery, and by opposing Lincoln on all fronts. Irish Roman Catholic Federals, and he means federal troops, Union troops, deserted in droves after learning that their Holy Father, Pope Pius IX, had dispatched an official communique of support to Confederate President Jefferson Davis, addressing him as the illustrious and honorable President of the Confederate States of America. We have to realize that this is official, you know, recognition, diplomatic recognition, because the Vatican is a state. Anyway, back to the quote. When the retreating forces from General Lee's debacle at Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, in July 1863, I'm adding, should have been crushed on the banks of the swollen Potomac River, Lincoln's Roman Catholic Union Army General Commander, General George Meade, conveniently diverted a third of his army to securing New York City during the infamous draft riots perpetrated by the rampaging parishioners of Roman Catholic Archbishop John Hughes. And we'll get into more of that when we get in next week. But, wow, there was a lot going on there. And as you said, Lincoln really walked into a mess.
Well, you know, we've mentioned it on previous broadcasts, you know, folks, the people that are dusting the pews, the people that are donating, you know, in the tithe, making their tithes and things like that, so few really understand that that there's this division in the house, if you will, of God, if we can. There's a very grave difference between the leadership of these various institutions, especially the Catholic Church, and the people that are in the pew. If you're coming to the pew on Sunday or Friday for Mass, you've worked a hard week. You're there for a different, entirely different reason. And a lot of people, when they wake up to the machinations that are going on behind the scenes, the geopolitical arm of their faith, if you will, even the modern Zionist movement or the ecumenical or the evangelical, all of these, when people wake up to that, it's startling. It can be heartbreaking. It can certainly be a shock. It can be demoralizing. But, you know, so many of the Irish were brought to this country for the purpose of fighting wars and settling ground and things like that. It's just a sin and a shame that they didn't know what they were actually enabling, being part of. But we've got about a minute left, Daryl, and I want to thank you again for coming and sharing your information with us. Hope to have you back again next week. We'll continue this interesting study. I hope it's valuable to the audience. We're not here to bring up or bring down anybody's spiritual faith. What we're trying to do is to help build together an idea of just who are the big players in this scene, what are the unseen hands behind the development of modern events, and who are behind these various and sundry wars, who continues to profit at our expense. We need to understand that it's more than just a Jew and Gentile thing. As I'd like to say on this broadcast, the ring of power knows no race, it knows no sect, it knows no creed or tongue or tribe. When people get it in their mind to become powerful and rulers of the world, they'll stop at nothing to achieve their goal. Thank you so very much again, Daryl. Listeners, thank you for listening. And until next time, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse.
Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.